Can you talk a little bit about the side effects that are seen with aromatase inhibitors?
Well, the first side effect we talked about before was this bone density issue. And for that reason, I think it's reasonable we talk to virtually all of these women, whether they're on aromatase inhibitors or not. It's a good idea for postmenopausal women to be on supplemental vitamin D, maybe 400 units or 800 units. They should be on calcium, perhaps 1,500 milligrams a day. But that takes care in part of the bone loss issue. But these women will often develop musculoskeletal aches and pains. And the interesting thing is when we were doing the initial trials with aromatase inhibitors, this wasn't a recognized side effect. And I was treating my patients, and when I look back on the case report forms and what I was recording, I was saying, well, Mrs. X is having more problems with her arthritis. You know, I prescribed her extra strength Tylenol or Tylenol 3s. But the reality was that I didn't recognize, and it took a while before the trials matured to the point where we realized that the aromatase inhibitors themselves were causing arthralgias. So painful joints, generally not with signs of inflammation, but nonetheless, the pain can be substantial. And for some women, the aches and pains are enough that they're not comfortable continuing on an aromatase inhibitor. We don't seem to see that side effect with tamoxifen. So for some women in my practice, they've had so many problems with arthralgias that we've had to actually put them back on tamoxifen.
Do you find that if you switch them to another aromatase inhibitor, that helps?
Occasionally it does, but not universally. Now, there's two classes of aromatase inhibitors. There are the non-steroidal aromatase inhibitors, and the examples of that in use now are Arimidex, or anastrozole, and letrozole, or Femara. So these two molecules are quite similar. But there is a third member of the class, which is exemestane, which is actually looking like the cortisone molecule. So it's basically a hormonal analog, and mechanistically, it has subtle differences in its action on the aromatase enzyme. So what I tend to do if someone's having problems with anastrozole or letrozole, I'll try exemestane or vice versa in the hopes that these subtle differences in the mechanism of the drugs might allow them to have fewer side effects. Occasionally that works, but if it doesn't work, then you're left with the discussion with your patient that she needs to learn to live with those symptoms and manage them with physical activity and analgesics, or else come off the drug and switch to something else.
Any presumed mechanism of why these agents would cause arthralgias?
There's a lot of work being done on this area because it's really one of the biggest problems that impede nearly universal acceptance of these drugs. It's the one thing that patients seem to notice when they go on these hormonal agents. The mechanism seems to be related to estrogen depletion. We know that under natural physiologic situations, when women do go through menopause, that arthralgias can happen. We know that arthritis incidence flares around the time of menopause, and it's more specifically pinpointed by menopause than it is by age. So clearly there is a biological suppressive effect for joint inflammation with premenopausal levels of estrogen. However, the exact mechanism is not known. It doesn't seem to be bone fractures or micro fractures within the bone itself. It doesn't seem to be loss of tendon strength or any obvious injury when we look at clinical samples. And there's a lot of work being done on the issue. It was hoped that the bisphosphonates that make a natural pair for the aromatase inhibitors for the bone loss might somehow protect the soft tissues and joints and reduce the aches and pains, but the trials haven't shown that.